From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. To this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues a message with the title, Lessons on Sanctification. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Set Apart. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 6. Ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. This literal promise to Israel belongs spiritually to the seed after the Spirit, namely, to all believers. If we live up to our privileges, we shall live unto God so clearly and distinctly that men shall see that we are set apart for holy service, and shall name us the priests of the Lord. We may work or trade as others do, and yet we may be solely and wholly the ministering servants of God. Our one occupation shall be to present the perpetual sacrifice of prayer and praise and testimony and self-consecration to the living God by Jesus Christ. This being our one aim, we may leave distracting concerns to those who have no higher calling. Let the dead bury their dead. It is written, Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. They may manage politics, puzzle out financial problems, discuss science, and settle the last new quibbles of criticism. But we will give ourselves unto such service as becomes those who, like the Lord Jesus, are ordained to a perpetual priesthood. Accepting this honorable promise as involving a sacred duty, let us put on the vestments of holiness and minister before the Lord all day long.
Oh, but not changeth thee.
Troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Our text for this message is in chapter 10 of Joshua, verses 28 through 43. Having defeated the coalition of five kings, the army of Israel could have relaxed, at least for a while. Yet Joshua continued the campaign of conquest until nearly all of the cities in Canaan were subdued. Dr. Cairns is drawing an important parallel for the lives of God's people regarding the matter of sanctification, or holy living. In the course of the message, we've seen the importance of dealing with that which seems insignificant, but which may keep us back from living successfully for Christ. An important principle illustrated in the text is that Joshua pressed the battle when there seemed to be no immediate threat. God's people must not pursue sanctification only when there is a crisis. A temporary lull in the battle against sin does not mean permanent triumph. As Dr. Cairns is showing, the believer must hunt down all manifestations of sin in his life. This can be done only by following Christ, for it is the sight of the Savior that is the essence of sanctification. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
I would hope that you're not filling your mind with all the filth and the pornography of the world and all the ungodly wickedness of this age. These are big things. But as you look at your life and say, well, thank God He has delivered me from those things, yet you must look again and recognize I am not what I ought to be. I have not progressed to the extent I don't have the power in my life that I ought to have. I'm not enjoying Christ as I should enjoy Him. I'm not a witness for Christ as I should be. So what is wrong? It's not the adultery and the fornication and the murder and all the big things that are keeping me back. It's the smaller enemies we tend to overlook. When Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, he gave them a list of what he called the works of the flesh. And I want you to notice how he mingles what we call big sins right alongside with what we call little sins. But obviously to Paul they weren't little sins. Listen, the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, that is moral uncleanness and perversion, lasciviousness, extreme lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft. Now we would all admit those are enormous sins. They're awful things. But then notice how he puts in hatred. Hatred. Is there a Christian here this morning and you're running around with a heart that's bitter? You bear that hatred toward a brother in Christ, or indeed toward another who's not a brother? Variance. How often we find among God's people that we have a saying, you know, about people being as crooked as a dog's hind leg. Never seen the dog's leg, you'll know what I mean. They just are always at variance with somebody, spoiling for a fight. If there's a difference, they're going to find it. If there's some opportunity to be at variance with a brother, they're going to be at variance. Emulations. And of course, we're talking about people wickedly seeking to emulate. Wrath, strife. We don't think of those on the same level as adultery and fornication and murder and witchcraft and idolatry. But God does. God does. He talks about seditions and heresies. We say, well, thank God we're not into seditious heresies. But then he says, envyings. And then he adds murders, drunkenness, revelings. Notice how he doesn't put the big ones in one block and the little ones in another block. He mingles them to show us that the things we so often take to be inconsequential are not inconsequential at all. These are what we think of as little foxes, but they are spoiling the vine. They are destroying the tender fruit. There is the reason, the real reason for the lack of growth and grace, because of these so-called little foes. They remain to be conquered. We need to hunt down our sins. We need to come to the Word of God and let the Word of God search us through and through. We need to stand before our Savior, and as we gaze on Him, we need to let the light of His countenance expose to us the enemies that we have neglected pursuing. The third thing that I point out is this: that we can only pursue and hunt down our sins as we follow our Savior. Now, this is a vital lesson. Israel could only pursue her enemies as she followed Joshua. I have been at pains to point out throughout this book what Paul pointed out to the Hebrews, that Joshua is a type of Christ. His very name is the name Jesus. Israel could only pursue her enemies as she followed her Joshua. The vital part of sanctification is following Christ. We too often overlook that. It's easy to say that we should pursue after our sins, that we should hunt them down. We are called to holiness in every area of life. We should cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. We can remind ourselves, as Paul did to Timothy, that if we purge ourselves from these, then we'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, and prepared to every good work. It's easy to isolate texts like that and say, that's what we ought to do, but how do you do it? How do you do it? Where do you get the energy to pursue your sin? Indeed, how do you get the discernment even to put your finger upon what is sin? Now, this is very, very vital. This is the difference between pursuing holiness in the freedom of the gospel and living a life of bondage. I have mentioned before that as a young Christian, in fact, I still have this list in a stray sheet of paper, at least I believe I do, I don't think I've thrown it out, in my Young's Concordance. I remember as a young Christian getting a paper from a holiness group, and they told you how to examine your life and how to hunt out your sin, and they had this list of sins, and I diligently wrote them all out. And I was going to be praying through this list and thinking through this list. And I wondered why the heavens were as brass and my heart was like a block of ice. And I realized that's not how I'm going to find out sin. That's not how I'm going to defeat the lusts of the flesh. I need to get my eyes on Christ. He is the key to holiness. When I see Jesus, then I see the world for what it really is. When I see Him, then I see my own heart for what it really is. I can discern what is right from what is wrong in the light of the countenance of Jesus Christ. You see, following hard after Christ is the vital key to sanctification. We can only be holy as we look unto Jesus and fully follow the Lord. We have so often quoted such texts as Hebrews 12, running the race with patience, looking off unto Jesus. Running the race is sanctification. You do it looking unto Jesus. Paul says, we all with open or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is it that effects the change in the believer? What is it that produces more and more glory in the believer? It is the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is so simple, and yet it is so profound. It is so clear in Scripture, and yet it's so difficult for us to grasp and experience. Whole church movements have been built around theories of how to produce holiness. And for the vast majority of them, they miss the simple truth of pointing God's people to Jesus Christ. Sanctification, for instance, in Scripture is referred to as a crucifying of the flesh. But where does your crucifixion begin? I have been crucified with Christ. That's where it begins. And my ability to crucify the flesh arises out of my identification with Christ. And the more I see that, the more I will have the power to live in victory over sin. The essence of sanctification is a sight of Christ. And you know, when you stop to think of that, doesn't it make sense? If your heart is taken up with Christ, can it be taken up with sin? Your heart is in love with Christ, can it do anything else but hate the lusts of the flesh and the wickedness of the world? The Lord is our Creator. There is only one true psychology, and that is the psychology that God reveals in His Word. He is the Creator of body and soul, and He knows how we work. And He knows that if we have Christ in our sight, then we will hunt out sin and defeat it. You see, sanctification is not merely abstaining from certain things. That is a great folly that we have been foolish enough to fall into. That sanctification, holiness, is merely abstaining from certain things. Now, obviously, it involves abstaining from certain things. But you can say, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do the other thing, and be as carnal as the man who does. Sanctification is not merely something external. That's a weakness within us all. We want to make it something simply external, because then we're in control. As long as I don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and I do a little bit of that, everything's fine. But it's so much more than that. Sanctification is essentially discipleship. It is following Jesus Christ, our greater Joshua. Sanctification is fellowship with Christ. And I tell you, if you're not living in fellowship with Christ, I don't care how much you're abstaining from the big sins, you are not going on with God. If you're not in fellowship with Christ, you are not hunting down the lusts of the flesh. You are not living in victory. You are in defeat. Fellowship with Christ is the real essence of sanctification. It is taking His attitude against sin. We read in verse 40 how Joshua smote all the country round about there and their kings. He utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. Joshua's attitude was the attitude of his God. That's true sanctification.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.